So good to see Linda Smith here this morning. Been praying for you. Found out this morning Evelyn Yeo ended up hospital a couple of days this week. Pray for her. Today is an interesting overlap of seasons, as I mentioned in my prayer this morning. Thanksgiving, celebration of the harvest, thanksgiving for our blessings, those opportunities to stop and express thanks, identify those blessings. And first Sunday of Advent, preparation for Christmas, anticipation. The second coming of Jesus. This particular year, these seasons are overshadowed by two very grievous realities that came to us in different sets of headlines in the last 10 days. Our president tried to declare executive action for immigration reform, and it's just set off a firestorm of reaction. But as I come to this particular day, my heart is grieved. More than 12 million people in the United States. We call them illegal aliens. Undocumented immigrants. Folks, there's ladies and men and young people and boys and girls, human beings like us. Ladies and men who came to America with dreams for a new life. Many have settled for back-breaking labor and live every day in being picked up and separated from family as they go out into the community, attempting to make a living, and a large portion of them in jobs that literally are contributing to the Social Security system of our nation today. Oh, I know, I've heard, they don't do this, they're paid under the table, I've heard it. But I've also talked to some who are not the criminal element, escaping brutality from home, feeling hopelessness where they are at, hoping for something different for their children. And I've talked and grieved with some young adults who were brought to the States as very small children, but parents ignorant of the right system didn't file the right paperwork. And so this young adult that I'm speaking of grew up in the United States, went to our American schools, qualified for a chemical engineering degree at a major university, but turned down because he didn't have the right papers. And I've watched him and I sat with him as he cried and lives in fear. I don't know about you, but the old arguments just don't hold water for me. And so what do we do? But I also hear the frustration of Americans who feel these foreigners are compromising the values. And yes, within there is a criminal element, and I understand the fears. I hear, why don't they just go back home and come back the way they're supposed to? But no, the reason they came, they did the way they did, there was a feeling of hopelessness. And then I don't know about you, but I read the scriptures that talk about that God declares care for the foreigner and the alien in your midst and love them as brother and sister. And I discover there are no easy answers. Oh, there's easy answers when I'm sitting in a group here or a group there. And it's easy until I come in face to face. And my heart gets broken and I hear thanksgiving for the harvest and the blessings that we have. And there's something inside of me, my stomach churns. Maybe for you there are easy answers. I'm telling you, for this pastor, there aren't. And I see both sides. Then this past week, the riots relating to the killing of a black teenager by a white policeman in Ferguson, Missouri, and the ensuing action of a grand jury regarding charges against the police officer. I hear the anger of Americans lining up, some in support of family and Michael Brown and others, for Officer Darren Wilson. And somehow I just sort of sense that both of these men are victims of a system. One article I came across this week, America the Beautiful, America the Violent. Is it possible that both Michael Brown and Darren Wilson are products of our society, American society, a country birthed out of armed and violent rebellion? We used brutality to subjugate slaves and drive Native Americans from the lands they had lived in for millennia. We have experienced more shootings than 36 other nations combined, school shootings, that is. We've been continuously at war for 14 years. We glorify violence in nearly every form of media that we consume, from video games to movies, from television to music. Violence has permeated our culture. There's not a single young American who has not been taught to believe that most any problem can and should be solved by throwing a punch or pulling a trigger. See, I feel sadness for Michael Brown's family, his neighbors. I hear the anger being screamed out by a major segment of our nation that's felt the brunt of savage brutality and inequality. If you haven't had a chance to read the books of some who are descendants of those who have experienced slavery, I encourage you to find the book or watch the movie, 12 Years a Slave. Oh, don't read it if you want to stay comfortable in your biases. Don't do it. Because when you finish it, there will be something that's aching inside as a child of God. Feelings of oppression are deeply ingrained in several ethnic groups in our nation, not only African American, but American Indian, Latino, Haitian, rural Appalachia. Poverty in our cities of all nationalities, ethnic groups, Asian. But I also hear today the confusion of law enforcement officers hired to enforce the laws of the land. You see, as a society, we want them to nicely enforce the law. Have you been out there in the police car yet? I haven't, but I've sat and talked with the police officers who either become hardened in heart and angry at the world or enter every day with that little tinge. Well, I come back home to my family at the end of my shift because there's a whole segment of a society that wants to do nothing more than to kill me. A police officer that was actually responding to a call of a young man who had strong-armed a neighborhood convenience store. And this officer was being called to enforce the peace. And you know what? I wasn't there, nor were you. And it sounds like from the witnesses that there's a whole variety of people who think they saw what they saw. Only God really knows. And He told me to leave judgment to Him. I understand that things have to be done in a system of laws that pursue right, to pursue justice. But my heart aches. I've read the Facebook posts expressing anger, judgment, frustration. I'm thankful that I read them sitting in the comfort of my living room, on my laptop, or watching my television. So comfortable. It's easy to analyze the problems and pontificate how things should be done. How would I feel if I was the pastor of a church in Ferguson, Missouri? How would I feel if Michael Brown was my child, my cousin, my neighbor? What would I do if Darren Wilson was my child, my son, my cousin, my neighbor, my coworker? Is there a word this Advent Christmas season that gives hope? What can I do to make a difference? How do I go from this nice worship gathering in my nice community back out into this world? What do I do? What does the church need to do? Friends, the dynamics of Ferguson, Missouri live and thrive in Harrisburg in central Pennsylvania. Don't you ever doubt it. They're here. This first Sunday of Advent calls us to center our faith, first of all, in Christ Jesus as Messiah of God, hope for a better day. Listen to this. The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn away from godless living and sinful pleasures. We are called to live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin. Us, not just them, us. To cleanse us and make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Another translation, zealous for good works. We're told, well, we can't be saved by our works, but I'm telling you, we have been saved to do good works. So if you only stopped it, I'm saved without my works. You've only got half the gospel and you're not there yet. God saves us to be involved in the work of Jesus Christ in our world today. And you can't sit in your nice living room with your nice private religion and claim to be Christian. That's judgmental, I know. Before we tackle and straighten out this world, first of all, we are called to center our faith in and submit our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. Our hope, according to the Scripture, is the transforming power of Jesus Christ that redeems us from all iniquity and purifies for himself a zealous people for good works. A little bit earlier, you saw a recorded telling, reading of that passage, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. I've used it, and some of you are getting tired of it, and good, I'm glad to hear it. Maybe you'll keep getting on to the heart of it. Hear it over and over and over. Jesus is the hope of our world. And then that passage we've been reading, a manual for living up to becoming all God designed us to be, that in the middle of that first church has this, first chapter has this great hymn, just a few verses of it. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Wow. Let's just break that down on this Lord's Day morning and reflect on the person of Jesus. Eternally one with God. Participated with God in the creation of the universe. The visible image of the invisible God. The supreme over all creation. Eternally one with God. Existed before anything was created. No created moment in his life. Transformation in the birth. In his coming to earth. St. John identifies him as the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Not created. Some religions call him a created being. An angel, a prophet. But Christianity, from the beginning, Jesus is with God. One with God. Not an angelic being. Messenger of God, to be sure. One with God, eternal. Participated with God in the creation. Says John, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Says the Apostle Paul in this letter to the Colossians, everything was created through him and for him. You see, he breathed life into our first parents at creation. He defined righteousness and justice as creation and wove them into the fabric of our being, of the world. So that the Apostle Paul in another letter says, everything that needs to be known about God is present and is there in his creation. Romans chapter 1, it's there. Jesus, who is life. He created things we can't see, like thrones, kingdoms, authorities. But it also says he created them. Current world governments, governments. The whole system of governance is there as is part of creation, but it's become corrupted by evil, as has business and our world. See, Jesus is the way to God. He is the truth. Your Bible contains the truth. Jesus is the truth. One of the major differences of Christianity is that truth is a person, Jesus Christ. He is the life. And as such, he fully reveals God and God's design for us. He is the visible image of the invisible God. You see, the Old Testament declares God. Jesus fully reveals God. St. John says, Jesus, the living Word of God, became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. He's our model for dealing with the world we live in. Jesus is our model for dealing with the world we live in. You want to know how to deal with our world? Start looking at Jesus. What did Jesus do? What didn't he do? He is supreme over all creation. Some of the translations call him the firstborn, which confuses religions like Islam and others. Firstborn is an ancient setting of authority. Authority granted to the firstborn, eldest son. Jesus is supreme over all creation. He existed before anything else. He holds creation together. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. No matter the violence of our world, this is not a current issue. It's been going on for ages. Currently reading a novel. Something the title to the effect, Can't See the Light, story of a German boy in an orphanage, 30s, 40s, the 20th century. A little girl growing up in France was blind. And the writer is trying to deal with what they had to go through. A blind little girl. As Paris was bombed and later other cities, as she tried to live and exist. Heartache and brokenness, that's our world. Jesus is supreme over all creation. So look how Jesus did. He revolutionized holy living for all people. He healed sick people as he encountered. He fed people as opportunity presented itself. And he always taught principles of the kingdom of heaven. He discipled women and men who believed in and followed him to live as citizens of the kingdom of God in the midst of this world under the dominion of evil. And yes, he got killed for it. Was that the end of the story? What is our hope? That everything's going to be nice and wonderful? That is not our hope. So, church, how do we live? We now live as the hands and feet of Jesus in the middle of this world. And I was thinking about there, and seven things came to my mind that here's what we do. You want to know what to do? Jot these down. First of all, realize we're a part of what Jesus already did. Know who we are. Realize Jesus left his home in heaven and came to earth to reveal God's design. There's a price. He gave up all the authority and the rights to come into our midst. You're going to have to get in the middle of the world. He recruited a few disciples, trained them to be his representatives in this world. He didn't plant a megachurch. When he got killed, how many followers did he have? Are you looking for comfort? He rallied a few of those, about 120, between his resurrection and ascension. And on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in those disciples. And he transformed them. He made these disciples his church and commissioned them to make disciples in his name throughout the world. And those disciples started a movement we now know as Christianity. And Christianity is now spreading through our whole world. The reports that we're getting from around the world says that Christianity is spreading faster than it ever has. We don't see it in our nice post-Christian America. Now we are commissioned to extend his mission. So our first step is to center our faith in Jesus as Messiah, Savior, hope of the world. Our friends, our hope, dear friends, is not everybody's going to get along nice. Our hope is in Jesus because it's in Jesus that there's a possibility of transformation in our world. Second step, pray constantly. How many times you hear, well, there's nothing left to do to pray. Maybe we should start off with saying, let's start by prayer. Prayer somehow incorporates us mysteriously into the great work of God. And so when we say, Lord, bless, somehow we enter into that process. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. But I do know that somehow very early in my adult years, as Cindy and then Sean came into our world, I realized that one of my major responsibilities of dad was every day, morning and night, pray for them. In the middle of frustration and joy. And even to this day, I pray for them, their spouses and their children, every day, twice a day, by name. Somehow I'm entering ministeriously into that world, and my heart is broken because I realize that there's thousands and thousands in our nation and in our world that don't have a mom and dad that are, well, they may have mom and dad. That's how they got into this world. Praying. Somehow mysteriously involving, studying and advocating justice as a disciple of Jesus. But friends, we have to be a student of the Word of God. It's not CNN. It's not Fox News. It's not NBC News. It's not ABC News. It's not the authorities of our world and the self-proclaimed authorities who are trying to tell us in the words of news commentary of how to do things. That is not our hope. Nor is that the ultimate authority of our world. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And folks, that means we're going to have to get rid of our biases and our violence and our methods. And we're going to have to submit ourselves, first of all, to Jesus Christ. So that as we go out into our world, day in and day out, we go out as representatives of Jesus, the light of the world. Don't study the Word too close. It'll mess with your mind. Because you'll have to deal with immigrants in a different way. You'll have to deal with the poor in a different way. Our hope is not the next president. Our hope is the church living out the gospel of Jesus Christ in our world. Jesus is our model. He is our hope. Study and advocate justice in the name of Jesus. Live holy lives at home, at work, and in community. What do our conversations radiate? What do our attitudes radiate? We must love people as representatives of Jesus. Respond to the opportunities of service God opens for you. Deeds and words of kindness. Partnership with other believers. God's church in the world. New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene, we've got Children's School of New Cumberland, in which we touch how many children a year and their families. Our enrollment is down and the finances are tough. And the other day I said, Lord, would you send some more families and their kids? And I felt very checked. I really felt checked. And God said, well, why don't you pray for the families that need the ministry of Children's School? Oh, yeah. God, I pray for... Really, Lord really checked me about praying about the financial concerns. He said, you start praying for the families that need that ministry. I started praying about our attendances, and the Lord said, why don't you pray about those, for those who need what New Cumberland Church in Nazarene has to offer. They're out there. Just a little change. But instead, help me, Lord, involve me in what you are doing and what you have. You see, as a church, God does, out of the church, he does call some to be missionaries and workers in compassionate ministries. My call is here. And your call is where you're at. In the world where you live, until he says something different. Do good where you can with the resources you have. And finally, here it is. Look forward to the hope reserved for us in heaven. Last two verses of the Bible. He was the faithful witness to all these things, says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. So here's what we do in closing today. The Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of this world. Here's my question that I want you to answer for yourself. Is Jesus the supreme Lord of your life? This Advent season and Christmas, will you honor him as the Christ of Christmas this year? Jason, I think we chose to sing Jesus Messiah, right? Hallelujah to my King. That's the way it is. That one. That pretty well. I couldn't remember the exact title. Brain freeze. I invite you to stand and sing it. Hallelujah. Well, Savior, let that pick you up today.